Hey everyone, welcome back. You know that feeling, right? When you realize that thing you need, some customer info, it's totally scattered across like five different systems, and none of them actually talk to each other. Drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's a common problem.
It is. So today we're doing a deep dive into whether this data chaos is like just an inevitable fact of doing business, or if there's actually a way out of this mess. And thankfully, because this stuff gets pretty techy, I've got our resident expert here ready to break it all down.
Happy to be here. Always up for a good data puzzle.
So today's deep dive is all about this company, OpenLink, and they are making a bold claim. They say they can fix this data chaos with hyperlinks.
Right.
I mean, seriously, at first I was like, is this a joke?
Right. Sounds almost too good to be true.
It does. But, you know, sometimes the simplest solutions are the most elegant ones. What do you think?
I'm intrigued, for sure. On the surface, yeah, hyperlinks, we see them every day, right? Click, 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 all over the web. But
yeah.
What OpenLink is doing is actually pretty clever. They're using hyperlinks not just as those clickable things, but as, like, universal connectors for data.
Okay, so instead of needing, like, a zillion different keys for every single data door, a hyperlink is like that master key that just unlocks everything.
Exactly. Perfect analogy. It's all about finding a common language that all these different systems and databases can understand.
Okay, that makes sense. And here's where I got kind of lost. They're not stopping at just connecting the data. They're bringing in the AI, specifically large language models, LLMs, to supercharge things.
Right. Right.
And honestly, that's where I start to lose the plot a bit. So for those of us who aren't, you know, coding wizards, can you give us the ELI5 version of how AI fits into all of this?
Sure. Imagine this. You need some info, right? Like, what were our top selling products last month? But that data lives in like three different places. Sales database, marketing platform, who knows what else. What if, instead of digging through all that, you could just ask that question in plain English and have an AI pull all that data together, do the calculations, and give you the answer in like 2 seconds?
Okay, yeah, that would be amazing.
That's the kind of power OpenLink is tapping into. Hyperlinks provide the connections, and then the AI swoops in to make sense of it all.
Okay, now that's starting to click for me. Forget wrestling with spreadsheets. I want an AI assistant that can do that. But so we've been talking about OpenLink in this kind of general sense, but they're not just selling one magic AI, are they? They have a whole bunch of products.
Yeah, they've built out this whole ecosystem designed to tackle different parts of the data challenge.
Like what? Give us the rundown.
So there's UAD, which helps manage user identities. OSDS for data discovery and analysis. Virtuoso to make sure the data from all these sources plays nicely together.
Keeping everything in harmony.
Exactly. And then they've got these pre-built connectors to integrate with other systems you might already be using.
So it's less about ripping and replacing everything you have and more like amplifying what's already there.
Yeah, exactly. It's meant to work within your existing infrastructure, just enhancing it with, you know, the magic of AI and hyperlinks. So you can finally break down those data silos.
Okay, makes sense. And out of all these different parts, what's the one that you find the most intriguing?
That's a tough one. But I think it has to be Opal.
Opal. All right, tell us more. What is it and what makes it so special?
So they call it conversational middleware. Catchy, right?
Sure. But what does that actually mean?
Basically, think of it as the brains behind the whole operation. Opalo is what makes those AI-powered smart agents possible.
The smart agents, those are the ones that can understand our questions and then, like, fetch the data we need, right?
Right, in real time.
Okay, that is pretty smart.
It's like having a super-powered personal assistant for your data, but way faster and probably a lot less sassy.
And this is what makes this vision of taming data chaos actually seem doable. Like, this isn't just some abstract idea anymore, right?
Exactly. Connecting data is cool and all, but OpenLink is taking it a step further by making that data actually do something. You can ask questions, set up automations, even build your own AI agents without needing to be a coding whiz.
And speaking of not needing to be a coding whiz, I've actually got their how-to guide for building an AI agent right here. And I gotta say, I'm kind of shocked by how straightforward it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, step one, describe what you want your agent to do in plain English. Step two, watch it work its magic.
That's the whole point. They've taken this super complex technology and made it something anyone can use. You don't need a PhD to harness this stuff.
Which reminds me, remember that crazy stat we talked about?
Yeah.
How so many businesses are basically throwing money at digital transformation,
yeah,
but not seeing results?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, I'm starting to think a lot of that comes down to the systems just being way too complicated for most people to actually use.
It's a real problem.
But OpenLink, They're going for a much more user-friendly approach, right? Making it easier for people to implement AI, to actually get value out of it.
Yeah, that's the goal, democratizing access to this kind of technology.
Okay, so I'll admit it. So far, OpenLINK is sounding pretty impressive. But let's be real, they're not the only ones playing in this data sandbox, are they?
Definitely not, no.
You've got giants like Microsoft, IBM. They all want a piece of the data management pie.
Absolutely. It's a big deal right now.
So what makes OpenLINK different? What's their secret sauce in such a crowded market?
You know, it's funny you mentioned the competition, because honestly, I think that's where OpenLINK really shines. They're not trying to be like the be-all, end-all solution. They're much more focused on flexibility, on making sure their stuff plays well with others.
So more about collaboration than competition.
Exactly. Open standards, partnerships. It's a very different approach from the whole walled garden mentality we see a lot in tech.
Which, let's be honest, can be super frustrating.
The worst. OpenLINK seems to get that the real power of data is in letting it flow, you know, connecting different parts of our businesses, our lives, all that.
Okay, that makes sense on a strategic level. Mm. But I'm always curious about the concrete stuff. How does this actually play out in the real world? Can you give me an example?
Sure. Think about customer service. You call up a company, you've got a question about an order. How often do you end up on hold while they're clicking through a million different screens?
Ugh, don't even get me started. Way too often. It's like they haven't heard of computers.
Right. But imagine if they had an AI agent powered by OpenLINK that instantly pulls up your entire history, order details, tracking info, past interactions, all in one place.
Okay, now that would be impressive.
And helpful. No more repeating your order number 6 times or getting transferred to 3 different departments.
Sign me up for that. But it's not just about making things easier for customers, is it? It seems like this could completely change how efficient businesses are, how productive their teams can be.
Oh, absolutely. Streamlining all that information, automating tasks. Yeah. Suddenly, employees have way more time to focus on the stuff that actually requires human brain power, you know? The strategic thinking, the creative problem solving.
The stuff AI can't do yet.
Exactly. Imagine sales teams with real-time insights into customer behavior. Marketers who can personalize campaigns with crazy precision, product developers getting instant feedback and usage data.
It's like you're leveling up your entire business. No more data headaches. Everyone has the information they need right when they need it. It almost sounds too good to be true.
Almost.
But, you know, something that keeps coming back to me is their go-to-market strategy. This whole emphasis on partnerships, building an ecosystem. What do you make of that?
I think it's smart, honestly. They realize they can't be everything to everyone, and that's fine. By focusing on what they're good at, the data integration, the AI agents, that flexible architecture.
So like, we'll build the foundation, you bring the house.
Exactly. They can partner with companies that specialize in specific areas, and together they create a really powerful solution for the customer.
So it's less about cutthroat competition and more about, what's that word? Co-opetition.
Yeah. Working together to build something bigger and better than anyone could alone.
I like that. So it's not about being locked into one vendor. It's about having the freedom to choose the best tools for the job, but they all work together seamlessly because of OpenLINK.
Exactly. And this collaborative approach, I think we're seeing this more and more across the tech world, actually.
Really?
Yeah. This understanding that the future of data, it isn't about these closed off systems, but about building bridges, making connections.
Moving towards a more interconnected data landscape. Okay, I like where this is going. But I gotta ask, with all this interconnectedness, are there any downsides?
Yeah.
What about security, privacy, all that?
Oh, for sure. You're right to be thinking about that. Every new technology, there's always another side of the coin. And yeah, making sure all this data is secure, that it's kept private, as it's moving between all these different places, that's a huge challenge.
The more connections you have, the more potential weak points someone could exploit, right?
Exactly. And it's not just about preventing data breaches. It's about making sure data is used ethically, responsibly.
That's a whole other can of worms.
It is. Because as AI gets more sophisticated, as it starts analyzing all this data, making decisions based on it, we have to be very careful about potential biases. These systems, they have to be fair, transparent, accountable.
It's not just about the tech itself, but about the values baked into it, right?
100%. We need to be having these conversations now to make sure this data-driven future we're building, it's one that benefits everyone, not just a select few.
Okay, that is a super important point. It's easy to get caught up in the, ooh, shiny new tech, and forget about the potential consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So as we explore this new data landscape, What are some key things that businesses and even just regular people like me should be keeping in mind?
Well, for businesses, prioritizing data security and privacy from the get-go is crucial. And I don't mean just as an afterthought. We're talking about building robust systems, educating employees about best practices, being completely transparent with customers about how their data is being used.
No more hiding behind confusing jargon in the terms and conditions.
Exactly. It's about building trust, being upfront, and being accountable. And it goes beyond just following the rules. Businesses should be thinking, how can we use data for good? How can our data make our products, our services more accessible, more sustainable, more equitable?
It's about aligning your data strategy with your values.
Yes. And for policymakers, creating regulations that strike that balance, fostering innovation while also protecting fundamental rights.
Well, not an easy task.
It's tricky. We need those clear guidelines, especially around data privacy and security, but we also don't want to stifle creativity or make it impossible for new players to enter the market.
It's a tightrope walk for sure.
It is. And for individuals, I think it comes down to data literacy, understanding your own data rights, being more discerning about who you trust with your information.
Being informed and empowered. Knowledge is power.
Exactly. The more we understand about data, the better equipped we'll be to really harness its power while minimizing the risks.
And that is a perfect place to pause for now. We've covered a ton of ground, but don't worry, we'll be back for the final part of this deep dive, so stay tuned. All right, welcome back, everyone. We're diving right back into this whole data revolution. It's a lot to unpack.
It is. And as with any revolution, we got to make sure we're building something good, right? Not just rushing in blindly.
Exactly. And we keep coming back to these big ideas, security, privacy, responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get really practical here. What does that actually look like, putting those principles into action?
Right, right. Well, I think step one is admitting that technology isn't this neutral thing. It reflects the people who create it, their values, even their biases.
Oh, for sure. It's like your algorithm is only as good as the data you feed it.
Right.
And the decisions you make about what data to use, how to use it.
Exactly. And if we're not careful, if we don't have a diverse group of people building these systems, we risk just perpetuating existing inequalities, or even worse, creating new ones.
It's like, who gets to decide what fair even means? Whose values are we encoding in these algorithms?
Big questions. And that's why we need people from all walks of life, different backgrounds, different experiences, involved at every level, from designing the tech to implementing it, regulating it. We need those different voices, challenging assumptions, pushing for more inclusive solutions.
It's about making sure this data-driven future is one that works for everyone.
Hmm.
But how do we actually do that? I mean, concrete steps. What can businesses do? Policymakers, and even just regular people, what can we do?
So for businesses, transparency is key. Be upfront about how you're collecting data, storing it, using it.
Yeah, no more hiding behind legalese, right?
Exactly. Clear, concise privacy policies, giving customers real control over their data.
Because it is their data at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And it goes beyond just checking boxes. Businesses need to be thinking about how to use data as a force for good. Can it make their products more accessible, more sustainable, more equitable?
It's almost like data ethics needs to be part of everyone's job description now, not just a separate department.
100%. And for policymakers, it's about finding that balance between fostering innovation and protecting people's rights. We need those guardrails in place, especially around privacy and security. But we also don't want to stifle progress or make it impossible for new ideas to take root.
Yeah, it's a delicate dance. Innovation with responsibility.
Exactly. And, you know, even just as individuals, we're not powerless here. We can educate ourselves about our data rights, make informed choices about the companies we support.
Hold them accountable.
Exactly. It all comes back to knowledge is power. The more we understand about data, the better equipped we'll be to navigate this new world, reap the benefits, and hopefully avoid the pitfalls.
And that is a perfect note to wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah.
A huge thank you to everyone for joining us. We'll catch you next time for another exploration into the world of tech and innovation.